She stood alone in the center of the grand ballroom while everyone whispered. Hundreds of candles flickered against gilded walls. Music drifted through the air like a half-forgotten dream. But Lady Isadora Wentworth did not hear the waltz. She only heard the rustle of silk as women leaned close to one another, the quiet laughter that followed, and the name she had come to dread. The Duchess of Rivenhall, always spoken with pity, always spoken as if she were not standing right there. She wore a gown of pale blue silk. Her hair had been arranged with fresh pearls. She had prepared for this evening with trembling hands and a heart full of foolish hope. Her husband, Damien Rivenhall, the powerful Duke of Rivenhall, had not escorted her. He had arrived separately, as he always did. He was across the ballroom now, his dark head inclined toward a group of gentlemen. He had not looked at her once. Isadora watched him. She memorized the hard line of his jaw, the cool elegance of his profile. She waited for his gaze to find hers, even by accident. It did not. He turned, spoke to a lady in lavender, and walked right past her without a flicker of acknowledgement, as though she were part of the wallpaper, as though she were invisible. A lump rose in her throat. She had been waiting for love that would never come. In that moment, she knew it with crushing certainty. She had been married to the Duke of Rivenhall for 11 months. 11 months of quiet dinners eaten alone, of cold good nights, of a husband who behaved as though she were a ghost in his home. At first, she had tried everything. She had worn the colors he favored. She had learned the names of his tenants, studied the history of Rivenhall Park, and sat in his library hoping he might notice. He never did. His words were always brief, clipped, polite, but empty. His eyes, those beautiful gray eyes, never softened when they looked at her, if they looked at her at all. The whispers in the ballroom grew bolder. She heard a woman say behind her fan, "It is said he only married her to save her reputation. A scandal, you know, no love in it at all." Another voice added, "I heard her own family wanted to hide her away. She was caught unchaperoned with a man at an inn. The Duke stepped in out of duty." Isadora's cheeks burned. The story was not true, but it had been whispered so many times that even she sometimes doubted her own memory. She had been tricked that night, lured to the inn by a false letter about her ailing father. A man had been waiting. Nothing had happened, but a rumor was enough to destroy a young woman. Then the Duke of Rivenhall had appeared, silent and severe, offering marriage as if he were signing a business contract. She had been so grateful at first, so foolishly hopeful. She had looked at his stoic face and imagined a hidden kindness. She had believed she could reach him, but every day since the wedding, he had only retreated further behind his walls. She could not breathe in the ballroom any longer. She slipped through the terrace doors into the cool night air. The gardens of Rivenhall House stretched before her, silver under the moon. She pressed a hand to her chest and let the tears come, silent and hot. She cried for the girl she had been, for the hope she had nurtured, and for the cold reality that she was nothing but a duty, a signature on a paper, a duchess in name only. When she returned inside, her husband was waiting near the staircase. His presence stole the air from her lungs. Damien Rivenhall was tall, broad-shouldered, impeccably dressed in midnight blue. His expression was unreadable. "Duchess," he said, voice low, "the carriage is ready. We are leaving." No question of whether she was tired. No inquiry about her evening, just a command wrapped in icy courtesy. She nodded numb. They rode home in silence, the velvet interior of the carriage a dark cocoon around them. Damien stared out the window. Isadora stared at her gloved hands. She had stopped expecting conversation weeks ago. She had stopped hoping he might ask her about her day, about her feelings. But in that silence, something inside her cracked wide open. The last ember of hope flickered and died. When they reached Rivenhall Park, a vast stone manor with tall windows and ancient oaks, Damien handed her down from the carriage. His touch was brief, impersonal. He released her the moment her feet touched the ground. "Good night, Isadora," he said, already turning toward his study. She watched his back retreat down the corridor. The door closed with a soft click, and she whispered into the empty hall, "Good night, Your Grace." That night she sat at her dressing table and looked at her reflection. Her dark hair, her hazel eyes, the gentle curve of her mouth. She was not ugly. She was not unworthy. But she had become a shadow. She decided then. She would no longer chase a man who did not want her. She would no longer wait for love. If she was to live in this grand house as a duchess in name only, she would build a life of her own meaning. The next morning she did not appear at breakfast. Damien noticed her absence but said nothing to the footman. He read his correspondence with a slight crease between his brows. He was accustomed to her small efforts, the fresh flowers she placed near his plate, the way she asked if he had slept well. That morning the table was bare except for his coffee and paper. It felt oddly quiet. Isadora had risen early and walked to the village bordering the estate. She wore a simple dress of dove gray, a bonnet covering her hair. She visited the tenants' cottages, introduced herself properly for the first time. The Duchess had always been a distant figure, but now she knelt beside a child with a fever, helped an elderly woman mend a quilt, and listened to a farmer's worries about the late harvest. Word spread quickly. The Duchess was kind. The Duchess listened. Days turned into weeks. Isadora filled her hours with purpose. She organized a small schoolroom for the estate children. She planted a herb garden behind the kitchen. She learned the names of every stable hand. Rivenhall Park began to feel less like a mausoleum and more like a home, even if her own heart remained locked in a quiet corner. Damien noticed the changes. He saw the muddy hems of her dresses, the new light in the servants' eyes, the laughter that drifted from the garden. It unsettled him, more than he cared to admit. One afternoon he stood at the window of his study and watched her cross the courtyard. She was carrying a basket of rosemary and lavender, her cheeks flushed from the sun. A stable boy grinned and said something that made her laugh. Damien's hand tightened on the windowsill. He had not heard her laugh in months. He could not remember the last time she had smiled at him, truly smiled. A strange, bitter feeling coiled in his chest. He pushed it away and returned to his desk, but his mind would not settle. The first real fracture came when Lord Nathaniel Hartwell arrived for a fortnight's visit. Nathaniel was a distant cousin of the Duke, handsome, charming, and effortlessly warm. He took one look at Isadora and his eyes lit with genuine admiration. At dinner that first evening, he seated himself beside her and engaged her in lively conversation. He asked about her garden, her work in the village, her favorite books. He listened. Isadora had almost forgotten what it felt like to be truly heard. She laughed softly at one of his stories, and the sound traveled down the table like a silver bell. Damien's knife paused over his plate. He watched his wife's face transform under Nathaniel's attention. Her cheeks were pink, her eyes bright. She looked alive. She looked the way he had always secretly wished she would look at him. The jealousy that seized him was sudden and ferocious. He set his glass down with more force than intended. Isadora glanced at him, startled. His gray eyes were stormy, his jaw tight. "Is something wrong, Your Grace?" she asked. "Nothing at all," he said coldly. "Do continue your conversation." The tension at the table became palpable. Nathaniel, ever perceptive, shifted the topic to estate management, but the damage was done. Later that evening, Damien found Isadora in the library, alone. She was tracing the spine of a book with her fingertip, her expression distant. He stood in the doorway, a dark silhouette against the firelight. "You seemed very pleased with my cousin's company," he said, his voice dangerously quiet. Isadora turned. There was no defiance in her gaze, only a weary calm. "Lord Hartwell was kind enough to speak with me. It made a pleasant change from silence." The words hit him like a physical blow. He stepped closer. "I am your husband. If you have grievances, you may voice them." She met his eyes steadily. "What would be the point, Your Grace? You have made it clear that my presence is tolerated, not welcomed. I have accepted that. I am simply building a life within the boundaries you have set." Her voice did not tremble. It was soft but resolute. "I am no longer asking you to love me. I am only asking to be left in peace." Damien felt the floor shift beneath him. She had stopped asking. She had stopped hopping. He had not realized how much her quiet pursuit had anchored him, how her small gestures had been a balm he did not know he needed. Now she was withdrawing, and the emptiness she left behind was terrifying. He opened his mouth to speak, but no words came. She curtsied politely, as if to a stranger, and left the room. The days that followed were a quiet torment. Nathaniel continued to charm Isadora with stories and gentle walks in the garden. Damien watched from windows and doorways, his jealousy burning a slow, agonizing fire. He tried to intervene, to speak to her, but every attempt came out wrong. He would find her in the herb garden and say something stilted about the weather, and she would answer with polite distance before excusing herself. The woman who once lingered near his study, hopping for a conversation, was gone. In her place was a composed, self-possessed duchess who needed nothing from him. One afternoon, a garden party was held on the south lawn. Neighboring gentry mingled under white canopies, and Isadora moved among them with effortless grace. She was wearing a gown of soft rose, her hair dressed simply. Several gentlemen approached her, drawn by her quiet beauty and the rumors of her husband's neglect. Nathaniel stayed close, but Damien watched from the terrace, his hands gripping the stone balustrade. When Nathaniel leaned down to whisper something that made Isadora smile, something inside Damien snapped. He descended the steps and crossed the lawn with long, purposeful strides. The crowd parted instinctively. He reached his wife and took her elbow, his touch firm but not rough. "Forgive me, gentlemen," he said, his voice like frost. "I must borrow the Duchess." He led her away, past the hedges, past the rose arbor, until they were alone in the shadow of the old oak tree. Isadora pulled her arm free. Her eyes flashed with hurt and anger. "What are you doing? You embarrassed me in front of everyone." "I embarrassed you," his voice was raw. "You have spent every afternoon with my cousin. You laugh with him, you walk with him. Do you have any idea how that looks?" She stared at him, incredulous. "You, of all people, wish to speak of how things look. You who have ignored me for almost a year. You who let the entire ton believe I am nothing but a burdensome obligation. Lord Hartwell simply treats me as a person. He does not look through me. He does not make me feel invisible." Damien's breath caught. Her words were a mirror, and the reflection was unbearable. "I never meant to make you feel invisible," he said, quieter. "Then what did you mean?" she whispered. "Because I have tried, Damien. I tried for months. I loved you, or I tried to. I wanted to be a good wife, but you shut every door. You gave me nothing but cold courtesy and empty rooms, so I learned to stop knocking, and now you are angry that I have stopped." He reached for her, but she stepped back. The distance between them was only a few feet, yet it felt like a chasm. "I do not understand you," she said, her voice breaking at last. "One moment you act as if I do not exist. The next you behave like a jealous suitor. What do you want from me?" The question hung in the air. He had no answer, or rather he had too many, all tangled in secrets he could not reveal. He thought of the letters hidden in his desk, the threats that arrived every month, the danger that circled her like a wolf in the dark. He had married her to protect her from a scandal orchestrated by her own uncle, a cruel and greedy man who sought to ruin her and claim her inheritance. The very night she had been lured to that inn, Damien had received an anonymous warning. He had ridden through the rain and arrived too late to prevent the trap, but he had stopped anything worse from happening. He had offered marriage to shield her name, and he had kept his distance ever since, because he could not bear for her to discover the depths of her uncle's villainy. He could not bear for her to know that her own blood had tried to destroy her. And deeper still, he could not bear for her to know the truth of his heart, because he had loved her long before the scandal, long before the marriage. He had seen her at a concert 2 years ago, standing in a pale yellow gown, her face alight with music, and he had never been the same. But a man with his cold reputation, a man who had been betrayed by those closest to him, did not know how to offer love without fear. So he had hidden behind duty, and in doing so, he had caused her more pain than any enemy ever could. He could not say any of this under the oak tree, so he said nothing. The silence stretched. And Isadora's face crumpled with disappointment. "I see," she murmured. "You have nothing to say, as always." She turned and walked back toward the party, her shoulders straight, her pride a fragile shield. That evening, Damien sat alone in his study. The fire crackled, shadows dancing on the walls. He pulled a small box from a locked drawer. Inside lay a miniature portrait of Isadora, painted before their marriage, which he had commissioned secretly. He had looked at it 100 times, tracing the curve of her smile. He had been a coward. He had let her suffer to protect her from a truth he thought she could not bear. But now he saw the cost. He was losing her. She was slipping away, not into another man's arms, but into a quiet fortress where he could not follow. The next day brought disaster. A letter arrived, not in the usual discreet envelope, but delivered openly to the house by a rough-looking man. A servant brought it to Isadora by mistake. She was in the morning room, arranging flowers. She opened the letter with mild curiosity, and the world tilted. The message was venomous. It spoke of her late mother, a celebrated opera singer whose low birth had been hidden for decades. It threatened to expose the secret to all of London, to destroy Isadora's already fragile standing, unless a vast sum of money was paid. The name at the bottom was one she recognized with a jolt of horror: Sir Edgar Vance, her uncle, the man who had been like a father to her after her parents died, the man who had consoled her after the inn scandal, who had wept at her wedding. Her hands shook so violently the paper fluttered to the floor. She understood, in a sickening rush, that the scandal that had ruined her reputation had been his doing. He had arranged everything, and the Duke of Rivenhall, her cold, distant husband, had been paying him to keep silent, not because he was ashamed of her, but because he was protecting her. The realization left her gasping. She thought of Damien's carefully blank face every time she mentioned her uncle. She remembered the strange meetings he attended late at night, the locked drawer she had never dared to open. It all clicked into place like a terrible puzzle. She ran to his study. The door was slightly ajar. Inside, Damien stood facing her uncle. Sir Edgar Vance was a tall, silver-haired man with a viper's smile. He was gesturing angrily, demanding more money. Damien's voice was low and dangerous. "You will not threaten her. You will not breathe a word of this to anyone. I have paid you out of regard for her peace, but if you ever come near her, I will destroy you." Isadora pushed the door open. Both men turned. Edgar's face went pale, then twisted with fury. "You told her." "She told herself," Damien said, moving instantly to place himself between Isadora and her uncle. "Isadora, leave this room." "No," she said, her voice shaking but strong. "I will not be shielded from the truth any longer. Uncle, how could you? You let me believe I was ruined by my own foolishness. You let me enter this marriage carrying shame that was never mine." Edgar sneered. "You were always so naive. Your mother's disgrace should have stayed buried, but you had to go and attract a duke. I deserved that inheritance, not you. I would have had it if not for his interference." Damien's hand closed around Isadora's wrist, pulling her gently behind him. "Leave my home, Vance. Now, there will be no more payments. And if I hear so much as a whisper against my wife, I will see you in court or worse." Edgar's eyes darted between them. He laughed bitterly. "You think she will thank you? You kept her in the dark, treated her like a fool. You are no better than me." He stormed out, slamming the door. Silence fell. Isadora stood frozen, her mind a storm. Damien turned to her, his face a mask of anguish. "I am sorry," he said, his voice breaking. "I should have told you. I thought if you knew what your own uncle had done, it would destroy your spirit. I thought if I kept my distance, he would not see how much you meant to me. He would not use you against me. I was trying to protect you from pain, and instead I became the cause of it." Tears spilled down her cheeks. "All this time I thought you were ashamed of me. I thought you regretted marrying me." He stepped closer, his hands trembling as he cupped her face. "Ashamed of you? Isadora, I have loved you since the first moment I saw you, 2 years ago at the Hartfield concert. You wore yellow silk, and you smiled at the music as if it were a secret only you could hear. I could not breathe. I told myself a man like me had no right to hope. When I learned of the scandal, I rode through the night to save you, not out of duty, but because I could not bear a world in which you were broken." She stared at him, her heart cracking open. "Then why? Why the coldness, the distance? Why did you let me think I was nothing? A tear slid down his cheek. He did not wipe it away. Because I am a coward, Isadora, because I have been betrayed by those I loved and I forgot how to trust, I convinced myself you would be happier without my darkness. I convinced myself I was protecting you, but I was only protecting myself from the terror of losing you. And I have lost you anyway, haven't I? You stopped waiting. You stopped hopping. And it broke me. She reached up and covered his hands with her own. Her voice was a broken whisper. I stopped hopping because I thought you could never love me, but I never stopped loving you, even when it hurt, even when I wanted to. I have loved you in silence, and I was so tired. He pulled her into his arms then, a desperate, trembling embrace. She felt his heart pounding against her cheek, heard the ragged sound of his breathing. Forgive me, he said into her hair. Please forgive me. Let me spend the rest of my life making you feel seen, making you feel loved. I will never let you doubt again. She held him as tightly as she could, the tears mingling between them. I am afraid, she admitted, afraid to believe it. Then let me prove it, he said, every day for the rest of my life. He drew back just enough to look into her eyes. I am not asking you to forget. I am asking for a chance to start again. I will court you if you will let me. I will learn to be the husband you deserve. A tremulous smile touched her lips. You have never courted anyone in your life, Your Grace. Then I shall be a very slow student, he murmured, and for the first time, a true smile ghosted across his hard features. And you must correct me often. The tension that had bound them for so long began to ease, replaced by something fragile but real. Hope. In the weeks that followed, the change in the Duke of Rivenhall became the talk of the county. He was seen walking with his duchess in the village, his hand resting gently at her back. He brought her books he thought she might enjoy. And he sat beside her in the garden while she tended her herbs, asking questions about rosemary and thyme as if they were matters of state. He sent her notes, simple ones, written in his strong hand. You looked lovely at breakfast. I am grateful for you. She kept everyone in a little box by her bed. He told her everything he had held back. The betrayal he had suffered as a young man when a close friend had manipulated him for money. The loneliness of his title. The way her laughter had haunted him since that concert, a light he never thought he could reach. She listened, and she shared her own hidden sorrows, the months of lonely dinners, the tears shed in empty corridors. Together, they began to heal. One evening, as autumn painted the park in gold and crimson, they stood on the terrace where their first painful conversation had taken place. He took her hand and pressed it to his lips. I loved you too late, he said quietly, but I love you now with everything I am. She leaned into him, feeling the steady beat of his heart. It is not too late, Damien. Love is not measured by the time lost, but by what we choose to do with the time we have. He kissed her forehead, a gentle, reverent touch. Then I choose you, every moment for as long as I breathe. That winter, the Duke and Duchess of Rivenhall hosted a ball at Rivenhall Park. The same whispers that had once filled a London ballroom were replaced by murmurs of astonishment. The Duke danced with his wife not once, but twice, and the way he looked at her made more than one young lady sigh with envy. Isadora moved through the evening with a quiet confidence that needed no validation. She was loved, and she knew it. When the last guests departed and the house fell silent, Damien led her to the library where a fire still glowed. He took both her hands and said, "You have given me back my heart. I did not know it was missing until you stopped waiting for me." She smiled, her eyes luminous. "I will never stop waiting for you now, because you always come." He drew her close, and in the warmth of the firelight they stood together, two souls who had traveled through pain and distance and found their way home. The house that had once echoed with silence was now filled with the quiet music of two hearts beating as one, and in the end, Isadora discovered that the truest love is not the one that arrives quickly, but the one that fights through shadows to find the light. She had been his duchess in name only. Now she was his heart, his partner, his forever. The waiting was over. And the loving had just begun. If you enjoyed this story, don't forget to give it a like and subscribe to the channel. Also, let us know in the comments which country you're watching from. Your support means a lot to us. Thank you for watching, and see you in the next amazing story.